Picture. Derek Gary and that sound of coughing that you hear is Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight, assuming our voices hold out. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-9636. Coming up later tonight, the case for rape culture in our courts and why those slap-on-the-wrist sentences may not be a good thing for the people who are receiving them.
Yeah.
So
we apparently in the court, what we've been learning as of recent is that court has been siding with the perpetrator.
Yes.
Or at least not siding, but being incredibly lenient.
There are reasons.
And I'm sure there are many of our listeners, as we'll find out later in the show, probably disagree with what the court's rulings are.
There are reasons behind this that we're going to get into later tonight as we look at a couple of these cases in slightly greater depth. Plus, we're going to have all the stuff that we usually do, our favorite stories from the past week, the strangest stories from the past week. We'll be quizzing each other on everything that doesn't make the headlines at the top of the show. If you're new to the show, if you're just here at Tufts, welcome. We do this every Wednesday night from 7 to 9, and you will be a more informed, more educated person by the time you get done with this program. The smartest people in the greater Boston area listen to The Big Picture.
You know it.
And they follow us online, facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo, facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. They wrote that down, right? Yeah. It's dark. It's almost dark out.
I hate this.
Almost
so
dark
much.
Out.
Yeah.
Almost dark out. Next
the other
week,
night I was driving home and it was a little after 7 o'clock and dark.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I liked it when the sun was still shining when we were coming in the station. Halfway through, I was just about to set, but not so much anymore.
Summer's gone, and all we have to show for it is Zika outbreaks.
Yeah,
and that's not what we were looking for.
And I think that's why I'm sounding the way that I do, just because the weather is completely changing. We're going back and forth. I mean, later in the week, and I'm sure you'll tell us all about what the weather is going to be, but we're going to head back up to 90s. The other night, yep, it was down to the 50s.
But can I bring out the
My body is not liking
can
this.
Can I bring out the good news?
What's the good news?
The summer of blood is over.
Yes.
The summer of blood is past us.
The meteorological autumn.
Meteorological
summer. Has already happened.
Yes. Meteorological summer of blood is now over, and it is football eve.
Yes. And I'm rocking my Patriots. It's incredibly comfortable, but my Patriots tank top.
Oh, is that a Patriots tank top?
Yeah, you can't.
I can't see it because I'm distracted by something else.
Yeah. It's a little low cut.
There's a laptop in the way. I can't see it because you're hiding behind the laptop.
Yeah.
If there's anything interesting to see there, lost on me.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that we've wasted everybody's time with that.
So much news to get into.
Let's find out what's going on in the world. Lisa Nichols.
Well, today in local news, we learn Massachusetts is seeing plunges in deportations. Massachusetts last year deported the lowest percentage of illegal aliens of any state in the nation and had the third highest rate of granting asylum. The state's immigration court deported just 26.9% of illegals who came before it, the country's lowest average rate, and well below the national average of 46.4% records show. This fits the rapidly accelerating trend that saw Bay State judges ordering the deportation of 80.5% of illegal aliens in just 10 years ago, a rate that dropped every year but one until hitting an all-time low last year, according to the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, or TRAC, which crunches government data. The Massachusetts court also has a distinction of having one of the longest average lengths of stays for convicted felons before the decision is made on their deportation cases. An Immigration and Customs Enforcement report issued by a congressional committee in July showed that criminals placed in deportation proceedings in the Boston area had an average stay of 92.4 days last year, the third longest for the country, behind New York at 116.8 days, in Seattle at 94.3 days, both of which are cities that where you can go and walk about if you're an illegal alien. This is a topic that we talk about on the show quite frequently, and unfortunately, when we do bring it up, it usually has something to do with a victim of a murder,
yeah,
or some sort of criminal act committed by somebody that is an illegal alien here, not lawfully in the country, that was either maybe once tried in court and set to be deported or had already been deported multiple times. We continually see this happening. Now, you know, for many years, this problem really revolves around the large number of illegal immigrants that have been convicted of felonies in this country, but we don't get the right documents to send them back to their country. And there's this big, almost middle area, because local enforcement doesn't want, they put their hands up. And then on the federal level, they're looking at local enforcement to do it. Well, who's in charge?
How much of this can we lay at the feet of Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone and his sanctuary city policies? Mm-hmm. Is this a lot of this coming from, I mean, we don't know. It's Massachusetts as a whole. We know there's a lot of shenanigans going on in Lawrence. We know there's a lot of shenanigans going on in Lynn. We know there's a lot of shenanigans going on in Somerville. And look, if we're talking about legitimate refugees, fine, let them stay here. We created that war. We now should accept the burden of having the refugees here.
Absolutely.
If we are talking about economic migrants, they need to be sent home. Because it's not like our economy is doing that well. Mm-hmm. People are going to argue that point. They're going to be like, oh, no, things are going great in this state. Things are going great in this state if you're in the top 4%. Things are going great in this state if you make over $80,000 a year, because everything here is for you. The housing situation does not favor the poor. The employment situation does not favor unskilled labor. This is not a good state to be poor in. It's probably a better state to be poor in than some others, like New Hampshire, that give you no benefits whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But it's still challenging here, and all of our state systems are stretched to the absolute max. Seattle and Washington State is kind of in a similar boat. But you got a lot of personal guilt. You got a lot of people who are making money, walking around feeling bad, and they're like, let the immigrants stay.
Now, when you make that statement, I'm going to somewhat agree with you when you say this state doesn't favor the poor. I believe the poor are almost sometimes given the opportunity or favored a little bit more than the middle class, the ones that are being taxed so much. And my question is, if we're talking about poor or so much, these illegal immigrants, what is the cost to welfare benefits for the state? What is the cost to healthcare benefits, state, federal housing? I mean, we're talking about financial stress on schools, not only financial stress, just the stress that is being put on teachers. I know multiple teachers, especially on the North Shore, that are having children coming into their classrooms that do not speak English. Administrators are putting up their hands saying, you have to do what you can do. We're not going to give any, you know, English as a second language classes. Deal with it.
By the way, some of the...
Not only that, additional court costs, underground economy. We talk about lost revenue tax that is in this state. Well, there you go. I'm sure a big chunk of it. And if I had to guess, all of that encompassed probably adds up to a lot of money.
We'll get into this closer to the election, but there is a ballot initiative here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that would allow public school dollars to be diverted to charter schools. One of the reasons that people are behind this is because charter schools have the ability to say no to students. It's not like the public schools where everybody is automatically enrolled.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation that you're talking about, where you have these kids coming in, they don't speak English, they don't know what they're doing in the classroom. They don't know what they're doing here. In some cases,
except half of them aren't even staying in the cities that they're going to. So if you go to a Lynn public school, you're an illegal immigrant here, not lawfully in this country. You are living at one of the hotels in Danvers. You are being transported by public dollars to go to Lynn schools. And then these teachers have to deal with it. That's what they're told.
And this is
how is that right?
Because our public schools cannot refuse any student. But charter schools can. And there is a danger to that charter school bill. And like I say, we'll get into that as we get closer to the election. Generally speaking, it may or may not be a good idea. The teachers union opposes it, so I'm in favor
of it. Yeah, there's a constant conversation that's going on between the argument of public schools versus charter schools and which money should be diverted where.
Yeah. But let's face it, we do roll out the red carpet for the poor. You get tons and tons of benefits if you come to this state. What you don't get is any kind of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So You know, if you're here to live off the gravy train, great place to be. If you're here to actually build something, if you're here to actually find opportunity, you're going to find a lot less of it in Massachusetts than you will in some other places. And that's a choice that we've made. You know, rather than create opportunities to get people out of poverty, we just essentially sustain the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best way to go. Because what you wind up doing is creating this permanent dependent class here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I'm not just talking about immigrants, by the way. I'm talking about white people. I'm talking about naturalized citizens. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about black people.
No, we have a huge problem here in the Commonwealth, and that people are becoming too dependent on state-funded, whether we're talking about food stamps or SNAP cards and staying on it. What essentially these programs were designed for were during times of hardship to have some sort of path to get out of it. And unfortunately, here in the state of Massachusetts, it is far too easy to become on these systems, stay on them,
yep,
than to work.
Take a ride over to Lynn and see what's going on over there. And then take a ride over to Malden,
mm-hmm,
which is very rapidly, I think it's actually a majority Asian population right now. And you won't see any of that because what they have done is there's certainly a large number of illegal immigrants over there. But what they do is they come over here and they got a job. It's like, you're going to work cleaning dishes in the restaurant for the next 10 years just to pay off coming over to this country. And then we're going to give you a $5 an hour job driving food around. And then 10 years after that, you'll get to own your own Chinese restaurant.
Mm-hmm. No, and don't get me wrong.
They have created those opportunities for themselves.
Well, especially being in the industry, I see it all the time where people have worked their butt off, that work four jobs just to provide for their families to make a better life in this country. And I have to give the biggest praises,
yeah,
to those people. But the people that come to this country, come to Massachusetts and understanding what you do get. Because I've seen it before, having a brand new iPhone and you're walking around with a purse that's probably more expensive than my car and taking your SNAP card and using it to buy groceries, which is what it's meant for. But you can also go to the ATM and do a $2,000 transaction,
yep,
cash.
Yep.
When were these programs ever designed for that?
They weren't.
But also, you know, this study to say it's a Massachusetts problem, to say it's a state problem, it's not just a Boston problem. This is a federal problem. This is a federal immigration problem.
It's not a federal problem because there are three states that you mentioned, which are Massachusetts, New York, and Washington State, that seem to have a problem in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what can we say about those three states? Heavily Democratic. Democrat-dominated states.
Heavily sanctuary cities.
New York is, as a state, is a little bit more mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what they talk about is happening around the Manhattan area. And it's happening around the New Jersey area, where there is a very heavy concentration of Democrats. These are New York City policies that are skewing the results there. Believe me, if you're up in Albany or if you're up in Buffalo and you're trying to stay in this country illegally, you're going to get run out of town on a rail. That's not the right solution either. Washington, we know they're crazy out there. They've been crazy out there for a decade. You know, what's Washington got? Juggalos and some of the most liberal social policies in the United States.
Oh,
which the ultimate result of those liberal social policies may be juggalos. There are juggalos in Massachusetts.
There's a very good chance.
You don't see as many of them, but I know they're around. There are juggalos here.
We know
here.
They exist.
Yeah,
yes.
So this is ultimately the biggest danger that you have with these very liberal social policies is you create juggalos, and nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. In national news, just back in session, they just got back this week, kids, Congress is already deadlocked on the issue of Zika funding, which prompted a dramatic stunt today on the floor of the House of Representatives. Florida Republican Representative David Jolly brought in a jar containing 100 mosquitoes from Florida to the podium, then asked, quote, "Can you imagine, colleagues, the fear and anxiety in this chamber if these 100 mosquitoes were outside this jar, not inside this jar," end quote. Senate Democrats are currently blocking a $1.1 billion Zika bill due to Republican language that would block funding for Planned Parenthood clinics. Last Thursday, the Florida Department of Agriculture announced that it had found the first mosquitoes infected with the Zika virus in the Miami Beach area. So, welcome back, Congress.
Watching that moment in Congress, I just pictured in my head, what if he just happened to trip? And they, like, the horror that would take place, you know, on...
Let them loose.
On the floor.
Let them loose.
Or honestly, that moment when they release all the butterflies from weddings. Having that sort of moment in Congress.
I would have been much more impressed by that move if he had let the mosquitoes loose.
Right.
You know?
We've had, you know, Republicans and Democrats sitting on the floor and acting like children in protest on, you know, in Congress and multiple other protests. But, yeah, why not let Zika mosquitoes out?
But here we go again, where we have a bill that would provide Zika funding. We don't even know what we're going to do with the funding, by the way. Mm-hmm. I guess spray more is what they're going to do with it. We don't know. We got... As far as research goes, we got the CDC working on this. We got a half a dozen private companies working on this in this country because they see a market opportunity. I don't know that money is necessarily going to grease the wheels of research. There may be scientists out there and researchers that disagree with me. So, possibly. But can we at least get the bill through without Republicans trying to tack on something that says no Planned Parenthood funding... Repeal Obamacare, ban the gays, whatever it is that they're trying to do down there right now.
How close have we gotten to having a bill signed? But no, you have to put a little footnote because this is actually what happens all the time in Congress.
This is why nothing gets passed.
Exactly. Because some people actually do the reading, what they're supposed to do, or, you know, they hire people to do the reading for them. And go, wait a minute. we're talking about the gays here, not the mosquitoes. Now, this is a fight that's been going on. I mean, even early January, we started talking about this because we had money that was set aside for Ebola that fizzled out quickly. And we have this money left over and saying, all right, we're going to designate said Ebola money to Zika. Well, no, every Republican in Congress lost their mind and said, nope, we're not doing that.
No, they want to do it. But the Republicans, who have a majority in the House, get this language about no Planned Parenthood funding stuck in there. And that's really where the outrage...
There are a few Democrats that are smart enough to see that.
That's where the outrage should be. The outrage should be directed at that. And those Republicans in the House of Representatives who supported that should be kicked out of office. Mm-hmm. This is what should happen. But they're all incumbents. Nobody's challenged. So they're going to automatically get re-election. We really should throw out everybody who's in the House of Representatives right now. Probably everybody who's in the Senate. There might be a few of those I want to keep around. Ed Markey doesn't seem to be creating too many problems for anybody down there.
And that's why we need term limits.
Term limits would solve the problem. It would solve the problem.
A little bit, yeah, they would.
It would keep these entrenched...
We basically have people that are dying in Congress, not ever changing their ways. They basically don't go outside of their hole to see what's going on in the world or have any sort of changing views of the world.
I guarantee you could boil it down to a formula.
These are the people that you voted in 20-something years ago.
Yeah, you could boil it down to a formula, the exact tipping point, the amount of time to the tipping point where a congressional representative stops being a good representative for the district and starts being a greedy, power-hungry idiot. And that appears to be once they win the primary these days, based on some of what the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has sent to the House and the Senate. Because we got some folks down there.
That I absolutely agree with.
We got some folks down there that are just embarrassing, positively embarrassing, that we should be ashamed. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, oh, isn't so-and-so your representative? Yeah. Don't blame me.
Many times on this show have you said, do you have a problem what's going on in the House right now? Do you have a problem what's going on in Senate? Then you should write your representative because these are the people that we voted in.
They don't listen.
They are not doing anything.
They're not going to listen to
That's shameful, especially here in Massachusetts.
They're not going to listen to the people. All right? If you want to write...
That is crazy to listen to your constituents.
If you want to write a letter, enclose a check for $100,000, and then maybe they'll listen to you.
CC Hillary Clinton Foundation.
That's all this is about, is money and power to these people. In the meantime, we have a, this is a real health crisis. Zika is a real thing. Zika is a real thing that has the potential to seriously rewrite the demographic landscape of the United States.
Well, you also have people that are at these hearings that are saying, we actually don't see any connection between Zika and this.
Those were the idiots at the meeting in Florida. Because there were people down in Miami today saying, no, don't spray. Mm-hmm. We're upset about the planes flying over our house. We're upset about the pesticide. We don't believe the science.
There was one woman that spoke and talking about how the plane flew over 10 or 12 times and, you know, she was tingling for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what? A few moments of tingling isn't as bad as having a Zika baby.
You could tell listening to these people that they weren't what you'd call educated.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to talk down on anybody here, but if you're that uninformed and you're going to sit there and say, I don't believe scientists, and I'm not going to listen to the doctors. Mm-hmm. I don't know what...
It's crazy. It's a conspiracy theory.
That's the point where government needs to step in and say, too bad. Mm-hmm. You know, look, we're flying the planes.
And especially the CDC has pointed out that one region on Miami that is the hotbed. And everybody should be educated, at least in that area, to know what is going on. Unfortunately, people across the country aren't as educated about it because they're still going down to these areas, you know, not like us. Or we have somebody, both in our lives, that are questioning their travel plans because of this.
But here's what happens. My wife's doctor told her, don't go to Florida.
Because California,
don't go inland. And you're going to be okay. But she said, do not go to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So Florida's tourism is going to take a massive hit this winter. A massive hit. But let's take this out to a potential conclusion that, quite frankly, ought to scare the hell out of everybody. If Zika becomes endemic in the southern United States, everybody of childbearing age with the means is going to leave. Where are they going to go? They're going to go to places where there's no Zika.
You're going to go up.
Where is there no Zika? Well, from Massachusetts north and pretty much from, I'm going to say, Ohio across the top of the country. And some of those states south of there. So maybe you're okay in Kansas. Maybe you're okay in Kentucky. Washington, Oregon. But you get south of that, you get down into California, they got the Zika. So you tell me how the top 10th geographically of the country is going to be able to absorb 60, 70 million people fleeing the South just because they want to have babies. That's what we're talking about here. That's where this goes if we don't find a way to get it under control.
But again,
of course, the poor are still going to be stuck down.
Well,
there.
That's the thing. You just pointed out exactly. You said the people that have the means, do it, and not everybody. And if we're looking at many of these areas, especially in the southern states, it is a lot of low-income areas where people just will not be able to leave. So we get to that point. We are now having multiple cases going into the tens of thousands of cases. If we get there, of women that are becoming pregnant and carrying to term a Zika-infected baby, what pressure is that going to put on government dollars?
Right.
Because as we've talked about before, it costs $1 million per child that is born with an infection of Zika.
And most of them aren't going to live past the age of 3.
Is that going to wake up Washington? Is that going to wake up our government?
No. Well, that's going to wake up Washington to the extent that they say, oh, we need more tax money. Let's raise the income tax. Mm-hmm. Let's have a national sales tax. They'll raise taxes all day long to pay for it. What they won't do, apparently, because they would rather try and push partisan agendas, is send some money out to try and control the mosquitoes now before it becomes endemic and before it becomes a pandemic. You watch what happens. The rich are going to start to leave. People who have money, who are of childbearing age, are going to get the heck out of the Gulf Coast. Those will be the first states that start to see the wealthy people move out.
Mm-hmm.
When the wealthy people move out and their tax base disappears, what you're left with is more poor. and less services. That starts to push the middle class out. And then anybody who's got the means to get out is at least going to go north a state or two.
It's a slippery slope of what's going to happen in these areas. I mean, essentially what happens when you have more poor people, you have that broken area where tax dollars aren't coming in.
Take a drive over to Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
Go drive around downtown Lynn and see what's going on over there. And
if you're left with all poor, look at what your city's going to turn into.
Take a trip up to Lawrence if you're so inclined and see what things look like there.
How's Detroit doing?
Detroit's, you can't drink the water, but other than that, I think they're doing great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Isn't that the comeback story of the year? In world news, I lied to you about this earlier, Lisa. It's a different story. There may be nothing under Christmas trees this year. Nothing, Lisa Nichols, nothing. Due to a South Korean shipping crisis, Hanjin Shipping Company filed for bankruptcy protection last week, leaving ships stranded around the world, including at Long Beach in California, the gateway for most Asian consumer goods shipments to the United States. On Tuesday, Hanjin's parent company pledged $90 million. Do this again. On Tuesday, Hanjin's parent company pledged $90 million to get the ships unloaded, but it is expected to take several more days before the funds can be raised and distributed. At stake are hundreds of jobs on California's docks, as well as supplies of imported goods needed for holiday season inventories. Very specifically, Nike's sneaker shipments for the fall are all stuck over in Asia.
I was just going to say, what are the major U.S. manufacturers that are involved in this? Because, we buy lots of Asian goods and have it made in China countries.
This is what happens. Everything's made in China. Everything's made in Japan. Everything's made in Korea. It all gets loaded onto Hanjin ships and floated into Long Beach. Long Beach won't let the ships unload because they are afraid that Hanjin won't pay the dock fees for that, which means all the longshoremen who are working on it don't get paid. You know, all the basic fees and taxes that you would pay to bring something into this country don't get paid. So unless somebody comes up with the money to move these ships, the ships are just going to sit there.
So just paint a picture for me here. These ships are actually docked, or they're...
No, they're sitting off the coast. They're sitting off the coast. They're 4 miles out, international waters, waiting for permission to come in. And not just Long Beach, all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There are Hanjin ships stuck everywhere. You name a port, there's probably a couple of Hanjin ships full of cargo.
But of course, the United States is probably the biggest importer of...
Yeah, we're going to be up there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're...
That with Europe and...
We're going to represent a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And of course, anything... You know, there are other ways of moving things around. You can ship things out by air. You can move things by rail if you're heading west, especially from China. They can move stuff by rail into Russia, into Europe. But for us, this is a real problem.
Mm-hmm. So what makes it change? Are we going to start having American companies that are demanding their products being shipped over?
They can't, because they don't really have any control over this at this point. You know, this is between Hanjin Shipping and the docks.
Mm-hmm.
And the docks have made it very clear, you're not coming in. So maybe somebody starts a Kickstarter, you know, to unload the ship so we can get our sneakers.
Right.
Maybe, you know, one
you
of these...
You just start having small dinghy boats floating up to the side and unloading.
Yeah, you could almost picture Jeff Bezos, you know, if he knew all of his stuff was on one ship, like coming in and paying the bill for that ship, just to get the stuff in his warehouses so he's got it. So there may be a couple of cases where businessmen could come in and alleviate this. But that doesn't solve the problem going forward.
All right, now here's my question. If for some reason this does have longevity and there is, you know, before the holidays, you're not going to see any cargo coming in, there's a standstill, are you now going to see the price of products going up?
You're going to see, not only are you going to see massive shortages of stuff this Christmas.
Because we're going to have a smaller supply.
You're going to see prices go through the roof because... The only way to get stuff into this country is going to be by air.
Mm-hmm.
And shipping that much, I mean, we're not talking about like a couple of boxes of stuff. You know, chances are at some point in your life, you've seen those pictures or maybe seen in person these cargo ships with these containers piled up on them, sometimes twice the height of the ship itself. Every one of those containers is a tractor trailer cargo container.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the size of a truck rolling down the highway.
Yeah, if you ever want to see anything like this, I mean, you can go to the seaport and it goes right through Boston Harbor. For the majority, those are gas tankers and bringing in the cars. But you can get a sense of how big it is.
And there's 700 to 1,000 of those things on every one of these ships.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about massive amounts of cargo. It's the cheapest way to move it. Is to float it across the ocean and then throw it on trains or throw it on trucks and whatever, get it where it needs to go. So whatever's out there right now ain't coming into the country yet. And then there's the question of what happens between now and December when the demand is highest. Yes, we could be dealing with some very big shortages. I don't encourage Christmas creep, but if you've got your eye on something that you know somebody's going to want, I might be inclined to go lock that purchase in right now. Because there is every possibility that prices go up between now and the holiday season.
Target hire you to say that?
No. No, because of the shipping costs.
It absolutely makes sense. Because not only, as you said, we're going to have a lower shortage of these products, but you're going to see the shipment going up. So instead of paying maybe, you know, $19.95 for shipping for all your products, it could go upwards of, you know, $50.
Yeah. So, you know, something that you might want to think about.
Now, what if you use something like Amazon? They might have a low shortage of, but like an Amazon Prime where you don't have to pay for shipping. That's guaranteed in the contract you sign up for it.
You're still going to pay a higher price to buy the product because it costs them more to bring it into the country.
Mm-hmm.
So unless it's a digital product, those will stay the same. But, you know, if we're talking about a sweater or a pair of sneakers or a toy or something like that, those prices could very well go up between now and Christmas. Because instead of just floating stuff over on boats, they got to bring it over in planes or hire some other shipping company that's going to charge more. There doesn't seem to be another shipping company out there that can step into the void left by Hanjin. So this is...
Do you have a list of any of the other companies that are heavily involved in this?
No, the only one that's been brought forward so far is Nike.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nike apparently has millions of sneakers bound for the United States sitting on those ships.
Oh, I bet.
I would expect that Apple iPhone shipments are going to be caught up in this. Apple said stuff was going to be out on September 16th, and now they've come back and taken that down. Maybe they know something about the shipping situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are all made in China. So Apple, with what they charge for their products, has a little bit more incentive to put stuff on planes. And it's also a smaller product that you can move more of on planes, but we'll see what happens with that. So especially with those hot toys this holiday season, you know, those last minute Christmas shipments may not be coming in. So
Derek, you're getting coal this year.
I get coal every year. I deserve coal every year. This is WMFO Medford.
Well, today in sports, we learned one coach says if you don't stand, you're benched. USA's Hockey World Cup coach and Columbus Blue Jackets head coach John Tortella. Yeah, it's a tricky one. Says that he has heard from a number of people regarding his Tuesday vow to bench any player who doesn't stand for the national anthem, and he hasn't changed his mind. Quote, I'm not backing off, I'll tell you right now. Try to understand me. I'm not criticizing anybody for stepping up and putting their thoughts out there for these things. I'm the furthest thing away from being anything political. But this is your national anthem. This is your flag. That shouldn't come into play for a second, end quote. Tortella said that his son is deployed in Afghanistan for the third time as a member of the U.S. Army Special Forces. The issue of respecting the anthem has created a firestorm of debate and controversy after San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick chose to sit for the national anthem during one NFL pregame and then kneeled for another. The coach said a number of the players on Team USA came to him after his comments were made public and supported his views on respecting the anthem and flag. Another one involved in this story.
Of course, the whitest sport of all the sports.
Tortorella. Now I can get that word.
Of course, the whitest sport of all the sports.
I know.
Yeah, next to tennis.
That was my first instinct.
He's
going to
come out and be like, hey...
How many players on Team USA are African American?
Right.
Because, I mean, really the only very prominent African-American hockey player is Subban.
Right.
Who's Canadian.
Yeah, it's like he's not going to stand for the national.
He doesn't really care. But it's interesting, though, to see this because we had the conversation when we were talking in depth about Colin Kaepernick and where coaches and where organizations lied. And 49ers had a typical PR 101 response to this and saying, you know, these are not our views. What his views are don't reflect ours, but, you know, we have to respect him for it and in his freedom of speech, and he has all the right to do it. Now it's interesting that we have a coach saying, don't even think about it. Everybody is able to stand. I said it before. What he did, I don't agree with it. I have to accept it because he does. The First Amendment right says you can say what you want. It's freedom of speech. But also, I believe that there are better times that this can be done. You have post-game where you are sitting on a chair and have millions of viewers watching your press conferences. That is when you get your message out. You don't need to talk about the game. You have a problem what is going on in our country and thinks that your message should be spread, absolutely, go ahead. But when you are standing on that field, when you are standing in your uniform, representing your country, representing your city, representing your game, you should be standing.
That's, yes, and I agree with you on that. When it comes to a professional sports league like the NHL, the NFL, Major League Baseball, you are covered by certain rights that every employee has working for a private employer in the United States. Mm-hmm. One of which is, it can't really take away your right to free speech. They do have some authority to tell you the form that your free speech can take. But if you are one of those professional sports leagues, you enjoy a monopoly that has been granted to you by the U.S. Congress. And if you start stepping on players' rights too much, you might get some angry Congress people poking their noses around, which is what happened to the NFL with the human growth hormone and drug testing, which is why they're so deep on that. We're talking about the USA national hockey team. That's a privilege to play for that team. You have to be the best. You have to be invited. And then you have to play by their rules. So he is perfectly within his rights to say, if you're going to play on this team, you're going to stand for the national anthem, you're going to take your hat off, you're going to put your hand over your heart, and you're going to act patriotic.
This is how we do it.
Whether you feel it or not, that's what you're going to do. And if there was such a thing as a USA national football team, and they wanted to kick Colin Kaepernick off of it because he didn't want to stand, I don't have a problem with that.
They're absolutely in their rights to do it.
Because, we're not talking about his job. We're not talking about playing in the NHL or the NFL, which is a monopoly, which is the only place he can go to make that kind of money.
But again, Derek,
we're talking about the honor of representing your country.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were going to accept the honor of representing your country, you have to accept that the people who gave you that honor don't want you using it as your personal political forum. You're already making a political statement by being on that team. We don't have room for any others in here.
But again, Derek, even if we're talking about hockey's USA team, and again, if you spoke after the game, if you didn't, you stood for the national anthem, but decided to spread your message after the game in the press conference, I would be okay with it.
Sure.
When we're talking about a job, you represent your company. The NFL is your company. For Colin Kaepernick, the San Francisco 49ers is his company that he works for. It's the same thing if you are a New York Yankee and they tell you that you need to shave your beard and be clean cut. This is how they want you to look. This is how uniformity is.
But there are
this
limits.
This is how you act.
There are limits to what your employer can demand of you in that situation. And your employer cannot demand that you stand up for the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance. That's well established.
You think that's too far?
That's well established.
I mean, it's such a basic.
You can't even do it in the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to do it in the NFL.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they're becoming so PC in schools that some of them don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance or listen to the Star Spangled Banner.
But there are court precedents behind that,
mm-hmm,
because there have been lawsuits fought over whether or not Johnny has to keep his head bowed for the moment of silence, whether or not Johnny has to recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
But again, there's a big difference between a public school and somebody that is employed or employer telling their employee
not under,
who is making $14 million a year.
Under the law. Not under the law.
We're talking about public and private.
Not under the law. There's no difference between public and private under the law. Okay, whether you're a government organization or you're a private organization, you follow the same set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a professional sports league, if you are the NHL, maybe not so much the NHL because they've got regular competition out there, but if you are Major League Baseball, the National Basketball Association, or the National Football League, you have a monopoly.
Are we talking about just the Pledge of Allegiance?
You have a monopoly that is protected by Congress, and that is... And where the relationship between the owners and the players is governed by a highly contentious collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw the whole thing play out with Tom Brady and Deflategate, where this got into the players' union getting involved. If the San Francisco 49ers try to make Colin Kaepernick insist that he stands up or he goes home, okay, now the players' union is involved. The players' union is going to sue, and they're going to sue in federal court. Now this is a federal lawsuit. And as soon as this becomes a federal lawsuit, you got Congress sticking their noses in.
Now, are we just talking about the Pledge of Allegiance? Or my question is, if you work for a company that has in the handbook that says you can't go on social media and badmouth any other employees, you can't badmouth the company itself, you can't go out to a bar in your shirt that has your name on it or lanyard, or that is grounds for termination. Because essentially what that is free speech.
It is and it isn't. Because...
But how is that any different?
We get into the concept of what is a willful act and what is a coerced act. Okay? So if I go and write damaging things about my company, if I go online and I... Or damaging things about this radio station. If I go online and say, WMFO is the worst radio station ever. It's run by a bunch of goons. You shouldn't listen to it. Roger Ailes is in the back room telling us what to say now. That's his new job. Please tune out. WMFO is within their rights to kick me off the air.
Yes.
And say, you know what? You have a responsibility to represent this organization. You've represented it poorly. Even worse than that, you've harmed us. Please go away. On the other hand, WMFO cannot approach me and say, hey, Roger Ailes is in the back room telling everybody what to say. You have to go online and write nice things about Roger Ailes.
Mm-hmm.
They can't come to me and say, you have to go to the welcome party that we're having for Roger Ailes. They can't come to me and say, you have to bow down on one knee every time Roger Ailes walks by the studio. That's where the line is drawn. So if I, of my own volition, go out and do something, I am going to be held accountable for that.
But isn't that what Colin Kaepernick is doing?
If my company tries to tell me that I have to do something, and this is where Colin Kaepernick has the out.
Because the team does not tell him that he has to stand.
The team...
This is like... It's what everybody does. It's the norm. And to go against the norm is a statement that he was making, almost as if he was bad-mouthing... America.
No, this.
You're a crazy gun lady. That's why I'm pulling back on that.
Because you're the crazy gun lady right now.
But what he was doing was it going against social norms.
No. What he was doing was sitting down during the national anthem or taking a knee during the national anthem.
But then elaborating on why he wasn't
in a post game press conference, or in a sideline interview in one case, but in a post game press conference, yes. The game.
So that would be different than if he sat down during the national anthem and held up a sign.
If he holds up a sign...
Saying something. Okay, that's NFL just what I wanted to get to and where we were going to differentiate.
If he holds up a sign, the NFL can chuck him because he knows that that is a clear violation. The NFL has spelled out a policy that says you cannot have signs, you can't have tattoos, you can't wear things that aren't part of the approved uniform. All kinds of rules around that. Who was the guy in Pittsburgh last season that was wearing the eye black to honor his dead father?
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL was fining him every single game for something that none of us even knew about. You couldn't see it on TV, but because he was violating the sanctity of the uniform and the sanctity of Roger Goodell's shield, mm-hmm. he was getting fined $10,000 a game. Until finally he realized, I can't afford this, and had to stop. So the NFL may well be within their rights, or the San Francisco 49ers may well be within their rights to fine Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee or sitting down during the national anthem. But in order to do that, they would have to establish that there is a rule somewhere that says you must stand for the national anthem. Mm-hmm. That rule doesn't exist.
It's just an, I understand that.
So for,
it's an accepted social norm of what we, how
right.
most of us
so if San,
here in the United States were raised to do.
So if Roger Goodell or the Giants management or anybody else comes in and says, Kaepernick, you're going to stand, now we're into the realm of coercion. And because we're into the realm of coercion, and because Kaepernick isn't doing anything else to violate league rules, he's got a case. Unions get involved, federal lawsuit, and this blows way out of proportion. Mm. Suddenly you have senators knocking on Roger Goodell's door and saying, hey, let's talk about those cable deals you negotiated again.
But again, we're talking about hockey, the whitest of whites.
Right. But to bring it back to that, you know, that is the job. And if you want to be a professional mm-hmm. football player, that's your only destination in this country. So they have to play by a slightly more restrictive set of rules because they have that exemption, because they're under that government spotlight all the time.
No, and whereas if you are picked to be on a specific team, these are the rules that you need to follow. And if you don't like them, so be it. Don't be on this team.
Don't play. We'll go get somebody else. Mm-hmm. Perfectly within his rights to say that. As far as the Blue Jackets go, Tortello can't do crap. If the Blue Jackets all want to turn their backs or moon the audience or burn a Canadian flag while O Canada is playing in Toronto, well, I don't know if they could do
that's
that.
That's a little.
they can sit down during the
Even
national
those
anthem.
Those were a little too far.
They can sit down on the national anthem in the NHL if they want to. Whitest sport.
Yeah.
Of all the sports. Yeah. I don't see a lot of that happening.
Well, today in entertainment news, we learned Fox News is the bad boyfriend that keeps saying, I'm sorry. Former Fox News anchor Gretchen Carlson settled her sexual harassment lawsuit against Roger Ailes, new job here, for a reported $20 million in a public apology Tuesday, ending the case that triggered the downfall of the cable channel's chief executive. Carlson alleged in a lawsuit filed 2 months ago that she was demoted and let go of Fox because she rejected Ailes' sexual advances and complained about workplace harassment. In a statement, Fox parent company 21st Century Fox said, quote, we apologize for the fact that Gretchen was not treated with respect and dignity that she and all of our colleagues deserve, end quote. Ailes 76 denied Carlson's allegations when the lawsuit was filed. He had no comment on Tuesday. Also Tuesday, Fox News announced the surprise departure of Gretchen Van Susteren, who with the nighttime lineup has been one of the most successful and stable in cable news. Van Susteren, who has marked 15 years with the network in January, said on Facebook that Fox, quote, has not felt like home for me for a few years. She did not elaborate, but she has been temporarily replaced with Britt Hume. Now, what's interesting here is that she was actually one of the people among Fox employees that backed or spoke on behalf of Roger Ailes. She kind of took a step back and said, you know what, I'm not saying what he did was right. I don't know anything. But saying that she had never witnessed anything. She was never a victim of his sexual harassment. Something that a few people had come forward, and Carlson being the number one. But $20 million, Derek, what do you need to do to me to harass me for me to get $20 million?
Oh, we crossed that line weeks ago. You've got audio evidence. You've got audio evidence.
Right? $20 million?
You were uncomfortable with the fried chicken thing that
At
I said
least,
a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. At least, you know, show the full Monty or something for $20 million.
First of all, I would like to welcome our new corporate overlord, Roger Ailes, and say that he is a fantastic gentleman. And I don't believe
He's just
any.
Just sitting and sipping his bourbon and.
I don't believe any of these accusations against him that have been filed by an opportunistic and out of control journalist, clearly. Mm-hmm. But the the Gretchen Carlson thing. No, you've got me. Now I'm getting confused too. The Greta Van Susteren thing. She had a clause in her contract, which was a key man contract that said if Ailes left and they couldn't reach an agreement, she could walk.
Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people don't know.
Ailes left. They didn't reach an agreement. Mm-hmm. She walked.
A lot of people don't know that is in many of the lead anchors' contracts where
Sean
because
Hannity
he
has
was
that.
Such a big part of what the station was. And now there's been a lot of controversy in saying if the Murdoch boys go forward, we're now going to have a liberal news channel. That's blowing the mind of how many viewers, knowing what kind of rhetoric is pushed on Fox News. It is a very, very conservative and Republican-backed news channel.
Sean Hannity has that in his contract. Bill O'Reilly has that in his contract. Mm-hmm. So those are your three big stars.
And we've
right
discussed
there.
This before. Who is now going to be really the new star?
It's Megyn Kelly, apparently. And the
she's coming forward.
And the
absolutely.
Collective IQ of the United States of America slips
has
even
just
further.
Dropped.
Yeah, slips even further. Mm-hmm. As if watching CNN wasn't bad enough for you. Now your alternative is Megyn Kelly.
Because if Hannity does leave, if O'Reilly does leave, they will have a wonderful contract that they will be signed up for at any other news station, whether they stay on television or if they move into satellite radio, because it is very profitable over there.
Bill O'Reilly can basically write his own deal any place that he chooses to go right now. I don't know that Greta is necessarily as in demand.
No.
Her real value would be if somebody was trying to get a new network off the ground. Because I don't see her going to MSNBC, even with the changes they're making over there to try and balance things out. Because you still got those evening broadcasts going with smarmy glasses face there and Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
Rachel Maddow, very smart, like was a broadcaster. I don't think she believes half of what she said. I don't think she believes half of it.
Yeah, she had to take off her tinfoil hat sometimes.
It's not even... I know that she's smarter than the things that she says.
Oh, absolutely. Incredibly intelligent.
Chris Matthews is a little loopy, so I can accept that Chris Matthews believes all the things that he's saying, mm-hmm. and Chris Matthews actually makes sense once in a while. Rachel Maddow makes sense way more often. But I see her get on the air and be deliberately obtuse about things. And I'm like, I know you're smarter than this. I know you're ginning up the crowd. Please stop. And then there's that other idiot that's on before. I can't even remember that guy's name. The one that they threw rocks at in Ferguson.
Oh, who was that?
Chris Hayes.
Yes.
Chris Hayes. He's terrible.
People actually, during the riots in Ferguson, threw rocks at this man during his broadcast.
He wears glasses because he thinks it gives him gravitas and intelligence, when it really just makes him look like that smarmy nerd that you wanted to punch, because you'd be sitting there talking about something and be like, well, you don't know anything about that because I know this. And of course people threw rocks at him in Ferguson. That was the best thing that happened in Ferguson.
It's true.
All
it's
that
very
year
true.
Was people threw rocks at Chris Hayes. I encourage people to throw rocks at Chris Hayes. Don't hurt him, but throw rocks
just
at him.
Taps.
Yeah, just throw rocks
just
at him to make
remind
him go away.
Him that he, yeah, we don't like him.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, though, that you can't remember the anchors' names from MSNBC. It's a good thing.
No, because, I mean, I watch all of it.
I know.
You know, and it's like, at Fox, I know who's on over there. And CNN just seems to be Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper, and Wolf Blitzer with an endless parade of talking heads.
I yell at my grandmother every time I walk in and see her watching Fox News and tell her it's destroying her brain.
I know who half of those people are. I don't know who half of those people are. They're all shouting at each other at the same time, and I have to turn it off.
Yeah.
You know? When I want actual news, I can't seem to find any anywhere. In technology news, owners of the Galaxy Note 7 waiting for an official recall will have to wait longer. No official recall has yet been announced because it must be issued by the Consumer Product Safety Commission through a judge, a process that may take up to a year. In the meantime, Samsung ordered a halt to sales of the phone on Friday after 35 Note 7s allegedly exploded while their batteries were charging. Samsung does have a voluntary exchange program in place. Owners of the Note 7 can exchange one at the point of sale for a new Note 7, a Galaxy S7, or an S7 Edge. Samsung will pay to replace Note 7 accessories, refund the price difference between different models. So if you trade up or trade down, you get the balance. And provide a $25 gift card or bill credit. The recall could be damaging to Samsung as it arrives on the eve of Apple's launch of the iPhone 7. Mm. So, if you got a Galaxy Note 7.
No, you are an Android user.
Yes.
I switched over, converted to the dark side just last year. No, back in, what was that, January. I got my first cell phone when I was 13 years old. So for that long, I didn't have an Android, but for a very long time, I did have an Android. I had multiple problems with it, and for the majority, they were all Samsungs. I understand it didn't blow up in my face, but there were multiple times where the battery had exploded or puffed up. Yeah, not good. Have you had any problems with your phone?
No.
You just must be lucky.
No, I got an HTC, not a Samsung. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have one of those Note 7s. That's a great,
And I don't know if it was a provider that I was using, but so many times when I had returned it, you would expect a brand new product, but for the most part, they packaged it up like it was new and told you there's a chance that it could be old and refurbished. I'm so confused why I'm paying the price of a brand new phone. Yeah. Yes. That was really the thing that sent me over the edge to convert over, and I'm very happy that I did.
That's your provider, and you want to get away from that provider. Generally speaking, I like Android. I like the operating system, and my phone does everything an iPhone will do, and it does it more efficiently. So those are good and cheaper. So those are good things. Samsung clearly has a problem. And once again, we have a problem with the rechargeable battery. Like, the constant explosions of rechargeable batteries ought to be something that is part of our past. Because it's not like this is new technology. This is either voltage regulation is wrong, or the charging equipment is wrong, or the design of the batteries is wrong. We had the problem with all of the scooters and hoverboards blowing up last Christmas. Now we got the notes are blowing up. We've had the problems with the electric cars and their batteries catching on fire. Every time I hear about a house burning down and they don't know the cause, I'm like...
It's generally check the rechargeable battery.
Which rechargeable battery caused that? And we need to fix this problem fast. I'll give Samsung everybody...
Wasn't there something last year around the holiday season with the lights?
It wasn't.
And one of the batteries that...
No, it was the hoverboards. The hoverboards were blowing up.
I feel like there was something with Christmas tree lights...
I don't
remember covering that.
No, there was a thing with the Christmas tree lights and the wireless routers that they were interfering with signal.
That's what it was.
But it was the hoverboards that were blowing up last Christmas and continue to blow up and continue to cause fires because people don't listen to the government. The government says, get rid of these things. And people are like, I like my hoverboard. Well, you're going to like it until it burns your house down. And hopefully you don't live in an apartment and you make 45 other people homeless. I give Samsung every bit of credit for this. And I got to wonder how much of this is motivated by the pending launch of the iPhone. But this is a pretty generous program that they're offering. They'll trade in the phone. You can trade to a different model. They'll pay the difference. They're giving you a $25 gift card. They'll pay to replace all your accessories. This is a win. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you don't think you have a problem with your Note 7, like, go get a new one.
It's crazy to me, though, that we're talking about products that aren't just a couple hundred dollars. For the most part, these phones, you're talking about the newest and best version of it.
This is
talking about $800, $900
items. $800 piece of technology.
You would expect that something that you are investing in that much won't blow up.
Well,
is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement, but what you've got is that Samsung puts all of its...
It's not like you're getting a crap version of something and hoping and praying that, you know, it's going to work.
Samsung puts all of its time and energy into making the guts of the thing and then buys the batteries buys the batteries wholesale from Joe's Battery Supply Company.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe's Battery Supply Company, they're the ones who were asleep at the switch. You know, they're either making crap batteries or some engineer didn't check the compatibility between the battery and the charging system. Either way, Samsung screwed up real bad on this one, but they're delivering excellent customer service to make up for it. So I'd say that's one in their favor. You know, they're not certain U.S. auto manufacturers who just sit back and, oh, gee, another person died in one of our cars. Why did that happen?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Don't know why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Hey, if you like summer, you'll be glad to know that it's got at least one more gasp left in it. After a cloudy night with some showers tonight, lows in the mid-60s, we're finally going to get Tropical Storm Hermine.
Hermine.
Could we have pronounceable names for the tropical storms from now on, please? None of this Hermine stuff.
Hermine
Hermine, whomever, is going to get the heck out of here tomorrow.